Hello, I'm Ana Luisa Farias, a senior analyst of the Latin American Research Team. Welcome to a special installment of our 2022 Bulletin podcast series. Today, I am joined by my colleagues John Reedy and Diana De Leon to discuss the 2022 proxy season in Latin America. In this June 2022 edition, we will cover the six largest countries in the region: Mexico, Chile, Argentina, Colombia, Peru, and of course, Brazil, which is the largest and most active market, representing more than 60% of the Latin American meetings analyzed by ISS. Let's start with you, John. Now that the Latin American proxy season is behind us, can you give us an overview of the 2022 season in terms of the big picture and meeting stats compared to last year?
Thank you, Anna. During the first 4 months of 2022, our research team covered a total of 879 meetings, which represents a 1.2% increase over the 869 meetings covered during the 2021 proxy season. There continues to be a high concentration of meetings in our region, which creates structural obstacles to institutional investors. Approximately 63% of the Brazilian meetings were concentrated in the very last 4 business days of the month of April, which was higher than what we saw during the 2021 proxy season. Regarding Mexico, the second largest market in the region, approximately 51% of the meetings also took place in the final 4 business days of April.
Regarding meeting formats, while we know that virtual meetings were allowed in the region in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, we saw different Latin American countries adopting it at different paces. Can you let us know what we saw in 2022? Has the adoption of virtual meetings changed this year? Did we see an increase or a return to more in-person meetings?
You are correct that the adoption of virtual meetings varied across the region. Mexico, for example, was one of the last markets to adopt virtual-only meetings in 2020 when the global pandemic started, and Mexican companies continue to carry out in-person shareholder meetings almost exclusively. Close to 80% of the Colombian meetings covered by ISS in 2022 were also in person. Only 12% were hybrid and less than 10% were held in virtual-only format. Peru, on the other hand, had all but one of the meetings covered by ISS in the 2022 proxy season as virtual-only. In Brazil and Argentina, about two-thirds of the meetings were virtual-only. Only Chile had a majority of the shareholders' meetings, or about 55%, in the hybrid format based on ISS data. Looking at the Latin American markets as a whole, we had about 10% of the meetings as hybrid, while the remainder were split between virtual-only and in-person shareholder meetings, 47% virtual-only and 43% in-person.
Thank you, John. Let me bring Diana into the discussion now. Welcome, Diana. Disclosure practices remain a shareholder concern in Latin American markets, especially in the Spanish-speaking countries. Have you seen any improvements in 2022?
You are right with the lack of timely disclosure, especially of board nominees, continues to impose challenges for institutional investors, mostly in the Spanish-speaking markets in Latin America. But we can say that there has been a consistent, granted slow, upward trend in terms of improved disclosure practices across the region in recent years. Mexico had a noticeable increase in board nominee disclosure, with 46% of the companies with a board election in 2022 providing timely disclosure of the nominees, compared to approximately 38% for 2021. Sticking with the director election topic, slate elections continue to be the norm in the region. However, Mexico had an uptick in unbundled elections in 2022. Out of 110 full board elections covered during the 2022 proxy season, 51 companies provided timely disclosure of their nominees, and half of them, or 49%, carried out individual board elections, compared to approximately 43% for 2021.
Thanks. And now switching gears to M&A and IPO transactions in Latin America. Brazil, in particular, has seen increased activity in the most recent years. John, has this trend continued in 2022?
Yes, for both types of transactions, Anna. In 2022, the number of companies covered by ISS in Brazil increased by almost 10%. 23 of the companies covered for the first time in 2022 had their IPOs in 2021 or early 2022, and five other companies were created in the same period through reorganizations. Now, looking at M&A activity between January and early May 2022, we covered 27 mergers or acquisitions in Brazil, and we know that there are more to come since some transactions have already been announced to the market but have not yet been presented for shareholder approval. Nonetheless, we do expect a slowdown of such transactions in light of the election year in Brazil.
Diana, how about in the Spanish-speaking markets? Were there any circumstances or activities similar to what we have seen in Brazil?
Well, in most of the Spanish-speaking markets, the increases in the number of meetings were modest and much smaller compared to the prior year. And in Colombia, AGMs remained unchanged year-over-year at 25. However, there was an uptick in the overall number of Colombian meetings, mostly related to the unsolicited takeover bids presented by Colombian business magnate Jaime Gilinski, who sought to acquire relevant stakes in investment management company Grupo Sura and food processing conglomerate Grupo Nutresa through offers carried out by his subsidiaries, Nugil and JGDB, respectively. Gilinski launched tender offers for both companies on three occasions between December 2021 and April 2022. The various companies within the same group have cross-ownership in Grupo Sura and Grupo Nutresa, and the boards of each company had to decide on whether to approve the non-solicited offer. While shareholder approval for the tender itself was not required, shareholders were asked to vote on whether or not to grant conflicted directors the authority to deliberate on the successive tender offers, which resulted in a high number of EGMs for Grupo Nutresa, Grupo Sura, Cementos Argos, and Grupo Argos, all related companies within the same group.
Thanks, John and Diana. Moving on to specific shareholder meetings now. In Brazil, one of the most high-profile meetings this proxy season was the AGM of the state-controlled oil company Petrobras, which continues to face growing governance concerns due to government intervention in its administration. For the second consecutive year, the company's CEO and the non-executive chair were replaced by Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who took office in 2019. John, can you share more details of what's going on with Petrobras?
At the EGM held on April 12th of last year, the federal government dismissed the then CEO, Roberto Castelo Branco. At the time, the company elected the Reserve General, Joaquim Silva e Luna, who had been appointed by President Bolsonaro as the new CEO. Almost exactly 1 year later, this past April 13th, Silva e Luna was also replaced, this time by José Mauro Ferreira Coelho. Both replacements happened in the context of disagreements between President Bolsonaro and Petrobras' administrators regarding fuel prices in Brazil.
Diana, how did the market react to this proposal? Was the Brazilian federal government able to easily elect the new CEO and board chair?
Not exactly. The first nominees presented by the government for CEO and board chair withdrew their nominations after concerns were raised regarding conflict of interest involving both candidates, which caused a negative market reaction and uncertainty on whether they would be approved by the company's nomination committee. 1 week before Petrobras' AGM, the federal government disclosed a new board slate with different candidates appointed as the new chair and new Petrobras CEO who were then elected.
Before we move on, I should just add that 40 days after José Mauro Ferreira Coelho was elected Petrobras director and new CEO at the 2022 AGM, President Jair Bolsonaro announced that the executive would be also replaced, this time by Caio Mário Paes de Andrade, currently a secretary at the Brazilian Ministry of Economy. The background of the management change was once again the increase in fuel prices. To be elected CEO, Caio Mário Paes de Andrade first needs to be elected to the company's board of directors, and Petrobras has not yet called a shareholder meeting to carry out the new election. It is important to notice that many institutional investors were very active leading up to the Petrobras 2022 annual meeting. Minority shareholder candidates were presented for both the company's board of directors and fiscal council. At the board level, there were shareholder nominees appointed under the separate elections reserved for representatives of both ordinary and preferred minority shareholders. Minority investors also participated in the majority election, which was carried out under cumulative voting at the request of minority shareholders.
Yes, Anna. And in fact, while minority shareholders have been very active in Petrobras governance for a number of years, 2022 represented an important milestone because they were able for the first time to elect four of the company's 11 directors. Before this election, minority shareholders had been able to appoint and elect a maximum of three representatives on Petrobras board.
Yes, Diana. We can say that the outcome of the Petrobras 2022 AGM was indeed unprecedented. With two directors elected in separate elections, where minority ordinary and preferred shareholders can elect one board representative each without the participation of the controlling shareholder, and two additional candidates appointed by minority shareholders were elected under the cumulative vote election, occupying seats that otherwise would have belonged to nominees appointed by the Brazilian federal government, Petrobras's controlling shareholder.
The Petrobras case is quite unprecedented and definitely something to continue to carefully follow. But were there any noteworthy meetings that took place in the Spanish-speaking markets, John?
The AGM for Chilean chemicals and mining company SQM is also worth mentioning. The company held a board election for a new three-year term, and holders of Class B shares, which are largely held by minority shareholders and holders of the company's ADRs, had the right to elect one nominee. The unusual part was the rare occasion in which we saw two candidates nominated as Class B board candidates competing for the single Class B representative seat. Both names were included by the company in its proxy card, and according to the meeting results disclosed by SQM, new nominee Antonio Gil Nievas unseated the incumbent Class B representative Lawrence Goulburn, a former Chilean minister of mining.
It is interesting to see unaffiliated shareholders nominating competing candidates in Chile. Any other noteworthy events from the 2022 proxy season?
In general, 2022 was one of the most active seasons we have seen in the last few years with respect to the nomination of minority shareholders candidates to boards of directors and fiscal councils of Brazilian companies. We also saw many cases with competing nominees, which was the case, for example, of the mining company Vale. I think it's safe to say that the election of board and fiscal council members by minority investors appeared to have had a strong success rate this past proxy season. We hope we will be able to illustrate it in greater detail in our upcoming postseason report for the Latin America region.
I would also add that in the diversity front, this was the first year when a new ISS gender diversity policy became a vote recommendation driver in director elections of Latin American companies. While gender representation is still overall low, especially in Mexico, there seems to have been a slight improvement in markets such as Brazil, for example. But we are still sorting through the data, and we will have more details to share on our postseason report.
Thank you, John and Diana. And this concludes our Latin American 2022 proxy season discussion for today. Many thanks to our clients for listening in. We hope that you found this podcast useful and informative. We'll be back in with more bulletin season insights, both podcasts and written notes over the coming weeks. Please watch your emails over the course of the coming weeks for full information on and links to the season's Bulletin Season Insights series. From all of us at ISS, thanks again for joining us, and please stay safe.